All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to hear part two of Brother Jason Hood's message that he began to preach the first part last Saturday morning. The title of the message is First the Wedge, Then the Split. What an anointed message we heard last week, and again, what a it brought back a lot of memories just hearing Brother Jason Hood's voice. And we also want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry. He's put a lot of time, effort, and work into making sure that these the audio streaming works fine. So we really want to tell him we appreciate him. Brother Jacob, with that said, go ahead and let's start that message.
I know it's not the case here, but I have been many places. And the pastor's family have the least respect for the pastor. And his wife talk about him like a dog, and the kids talk to him like a dog, and sons and daughters feel like they don't have to submit and respect because that's just dad. No. This is a pastor. My dad will never cease to be my pastor. Never. And when I talk to him, I address him, Sister Clark, with some respect. Now, we have a great relationship. We call and talk to each other on the phone all the time. We laugh. He'll call me, and I'll call his phone. He'll answer the phone. What's up? That's just the way that it is. And we'll talk to each other, and we'll just have a great time. But there's still a line that I don't cross because I realize this is the man of God. And if the devil can cloud your vision when you can't see that and understand that and receive that, and he drives that wedge of pride down in you when you can't hear what this man has to say, bye-bye. You're going to be gone, friend. And there'll be a sad, sad story. Just another story in some preacher's message of what could have been if you would have shook yourself. Pride is a dangerous thing. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I'm trying to move on here, but somebody here today is full of pride. In fact, there may be somebody's here today that you're full of pride. I don't know. Maybe the axe is falling now. Maybe it's already fell. But somebody's here and they're full of pride. And you need to allow God to deal with you tonight. Oh, you need to let God deal with you tonight and get that pride off of you because it's going to destroy you if you're not careful. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a parent. I don't know who you are, where you are, but you're here and you're full of pride and God wants to save you. God wants to deal with you tonight. And you're probably saying right now, he's not talking to me. I'm talking to you. You're full of pride. I got to move on here tonight. The devil can drive a wedge of bitterness. When you're bitter about some things that happened in the past, and what somebody did to you, and maybe what they did was not right, but that does not give you the right to be bitter and to harbor ill will and hold a grudge against somebody. If the devil can drive a wedge of bitterness and you're always harping on one issue, all you got to talk about is one thing, what this person did, what this person did. Forget about what they did. They did Jesus Christ wrong. They crucified Jesus Christ. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He didn't go say, hey, Pete, let me tell you something. Man, Judas, he ain't about nothing. Matt, I'm telling you, man, Jude after me, bro. No. He said, hail, friend. He loved him all the way to the end. Man, let somebody do us wrong, but we get so bitter and so we hold things inside for months and years. And the entire time they're eating us from the inside out, destroying us. Bitterness is a terrible thing to allow to get a hold of you, child of God. And you can appear to do good for a while. And then all of a sudden something happens and you bring them back up. Well, you remember, I remember you did such and such. You're still bitter. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Yeah. Jealousy. The devil can drive a wedge of jealousy in you, your walk with God, where you got your eyes on somebody else and coveting and wanting what they have in their position. And you might be a wife. This just came to me. You got jealousy involved in your relationship with your spouse. You might be a husband. And you say, well, you don't know what they've done. You don't know. Two wrongs don't make a right. Oh, there's so many devices that the enemy uses. I'm telling you, we could see his arsenal of weapons and see the label on all of them and see how many times he's used a certain weapon against us. We'd be amazed, because he uses these things so carefully that many times we don't even detect that the devil is running a game on us. One of the biggest wedges, devices that the enemy uses is to drive a wedge between you and the ministry. This, once this wedge is driven, it's hard to get out. Again, I refer back to Atlanta, and I don't mean to keep doing this. Again, I didn't plan to preach this tonight. But there's a family back home. In fact, one of the young men came to visit with us just last week. In fact, I believe he rode in the vehicle with Brother Casey from the airport. Good young man. 16 years old. Bass player in the church. Head screwed on straight. Love God. Love the man of God. Love church. Love everything about the church. Had a great time at the camp in Big Bear, Elder Frazier, saying, man, I can't wait to get back home, and we can just take some of this back home, and man, we're going to have church. And they got back home and testified about what a great time they had on Sunday. Didn't realize that on Monday his parents were going to give a phone call to the pastor and say, hey, we won't be back. Drag him out of church. Perhaps they may go somewhere else. May be the case. Nobody backslides anymore. But they cried and said, no, we don't want to go. The young man said, when I get a car, I'm coming back to this church. But his mother allowed the devil to drive a wedge between her and the man of God. A wedge that has been secure so tight for years. And there were times, Brother Clark, that this woman would appear to get the victory. She would appear to do all right. And then one day, out of the blue, come to church, won't speak to the pastor's wife, won't speak to the pastor. That wedge is still there. And she just could not shake it. And after years, husband was a minister, awesome preacher in our church. I'm talking about a man that could preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, but he had to be sat down because his wife wasn't submitted the way she needed to be. She was hindering his ministry because the devil had succeeded in driving a wedge between her and the man of God. And she could not for the life of her shake that wedge. And just this week, calling the pastor saying, hey, we're not coming back anymore. Not saying, you know what, hey, I got some problems. But no, pastor, you're the problem. I don't like the way you run the church. If the devil, hear me, saint of God, if you think for one moment that you can be saved without a pastor, not just a preacher. We've got enough church hoppers around Pentecost today. We need some saints that will submit themselves to a pastor. If you can't submit to this man right here, And I'm preaching to this church about this pastor. I'm not talking about anybody else or any other situation. I'm talking about this church and this pastor. It is God's will for you to submit yourself to this man of God. You cannot be saved without a man of God in your life. I don't care how much you pray, how much you fast, how spiritual you think you are. You need a man of God in your life. And God never told you to agree with everything that's preached in the church. He never told you that when the man of God stands up behind the sacred desk and he begins to shuck the corn, if you will, that you got to sit back and say, yes, that's right, I agree with that. No, he just said, do it! Submit yourselves. Obey them that have the what? Everybody say that real loud. You mean to tell me somebody has to rule over you? Oh, we don't like that word rule. But the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. Check this. This man right here has the authority from God to rule over this people in this church. Woo, God is good. Ah, ha, ha. And he's not just your pastor when you walk in here on Sunday. But on Monday, he's your pastor. On Tuesday, when you don't show up to church, he's your pastor. On off nights, he's still your man of God. And anytime he wants to pick up the telephone and call you and say, hey, I need to see you, he's still your pastor. See, we got this mentality that the world has, the nominal churches, that you just come to church and get preached to, hear a sermonette, and go home. No, this man is your pastor every single day of your life. And if you can't submit to this man of God, you cannot be saved. You say, well, this ain't the only church to be saved in. Oh, God, I'm chasing so many rabbits. You're right. This may not be the only church you can be saved in. But where do you draw the line at? People have problems with their flesh, Brother Clark, and instead of them getting right and repenting, they want to run off to another church. If that church was perfect, when you got there, you messed it up. And folks are looking for the perfect church, the perfect pastor. No, no, no. Just learn how to submit yourself. Again, I'm talking about this church and this man of God. Don't read anything than what I'm saying. I'm talking about this church and folks sitting in this church. I feel like this is a good church. And I've traveled the country. I feel like this is a good man of God right here, and I've traveled the country. I've stood behind many a pulpit, and I feel like this is a good church and a good man of God. The grass always looks greener on the other side. Everybody should have stood up and clapped when I said that. You're full of pride. I've stood in many a pulpit and I've preached many of sermons in many of churches. And I've sat across many of tables from many of preachers. And trust me, you got a good pastor. Amen. You may be seated. But the scripture tells us, obey them that have the rule over them, for they watch for your soul. He doesn't just rule just for the sake of ruling, but he's watching for your soul. And if he loves you, he will stand up behind this pulpit. He will talk to you one-on-one and tell you some things that he knows that you're not going to like. But he'll tell you because he loves you and he's watching for your soul. And he knows he must stand before God and give an account. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting." Everybody say perfecting. He gave you a man of God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see, preaching perfects you. Preaching brings unity. He said, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Preaching brings knowledge. I'm telling you, there's been times that I've preached myself, and while I'm preaching, something about standing behind the pulpit and the anointing of God hits you, and you'll say things you never planned on saying, and you'll want to stop and get a pen and say, wait a minute, let me write that. Because when you're preaching, God is using you and speaking through you. He gives you knowledge that you can't get on your one-on-one study when you're by yourself. That's why you got to come to church. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All these things, preaching does all these things. It helps you get measured up into the fullness of Christ. You cannot be saved without a man of God in your life. Paul said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Preaching causes you to grow up. You're a baby if you can't take preaching. I said you're a baby, a crybaby at that, if you can't take preaching. And every time the man of God stands up, why is he saying that? And here he goes on that again. And oh boy, I know where that's, you know, our pastor is. And here he goes again. No, you've yet to grow up. Preaching hasn't had its perfect work on you yet. It's designed to cause you to grow up. It should be no more a child tossed about to and fro. I thank God for preaching. I'm hurrying to a close here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I really hope somebody has heard me. I don't want to prolong this or drag it out or be mean. But I really feel like there's some people in this house today that the enemy has succeeded in driving a wedge somewhere in your walk with God. And you fill in the blank. I don't know what it. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's covetousness, lust, idolatry. I don't know. Maybe I haven't named exactly what your wedge is. But somewhere the enemy has succeeded. And once that wedge is secured, if you don't immediately begin to shake yourself, there are times, and it happens to everybody. It has happened to me. There are times that I stop and because thoughts are going through my mind. There's been times that while the preacher's been preaching, the pastor, and I'm just going to be honest and be real, that even as his son, thoughts go through my mind like, my God, man, here he goes. I'm being real. And you can say it never happened to you. You're lying. There's been times I thought, man, look at all these visitors. He's going to run everybody off. And I have to stop right there and say, wait a minute, devil, you liar, get off my back. I rebuke that. God, you know what you're doing. I've had to say, no, I renounce that. No, that ain't of God. I rebuke that. Shake myself and say, no, I'm not going to allow that to get in my life because I know I've seen it happen to so many other people once that wedge gets driven between them and the man of God. And everything he says from that point is wrong. Everything. Because there's a wedge there. And I've had that wedge try to get secure and start shaking myself and say, no, God, I can't go down like this. And if the devil has succeeded in driving a wedge in your life, and I'm sure that he has in some people here today, it's time for you to shake yourself. It's time for you to jar that wedge loose. And there were times that my dad would bring that axe down, and it wasn't as secure as he thought it was, that wedge, and he'd hit that thing, and it just bounced right out, and the log would still be intact. He'd have a little scar there. Maybe he'd shake his hand. He'd say, there's some folks here today that the devil's got the axe raised, and he's bringing it down to split you. He's bringing it down to destroy you. You need to shake yourself before that axe falls. You need to pray through before that axe falls. You need to pray through before the devil succeeds in destroying you and sending you to hell. He's not going to be satisfied until you're burning in hell. And the whole time when you got your finger pointed at somebody else, and it's somebody else's fault, and somebody did you wrong, the devil's laughing. Trying to drag you to hell. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Somebody needs to shake themselves tonight. When Paul was shipwrecked on this island, and man, they're soaking wet, and we all stand to our feet here tonight. And everybody has escaped alive. No one's been claimed by the sea. And Paul begins to make himself useful. He begins to gather some logs, some wood for the fire, to warm everybody up and bring some cheer and some happiness to this bad situation. And as he grabs an armful of wood, people are watching as he comes over. And he goes to lay that wood on the fire. And the Bible says that a serpent came out of the heat and latched on to his hand. And I can hear as everybody sucks in their breath as they know that's a poisonous snake, and they're expecting at any moment him to fall on the ground and go into convulsions and die. But Paul, this man of God that is full of the Holy Ghost. Hear what I said? He's full of the Holy Ghost. Once that serpent reaches out and grabs a hold of him, he shakes it right back into the fire and keeps on gathering logs. And man, time goes by and they're wondering, what in the world? This man is still alive. He must be a god. What I want to point out to you is this. Paul was not exempt from the serpent trying to latch on to him. Nobody is exempt. But Paul, because his relationship with God was intact and where it needed to be, once that serpent reached out and got a hold of him, he just shook it right back off into the fire and kept on doing what he should have been doing. I pray there's some people here tonight that as the devil is trying to latch on and grab a hold of you and spew some venom, some poison in your relationship with God, some drive a wedge between you and the man of God, put pride in your spirit that you can be spiritual enough to see it and don't be ignorant of his devices, that you can shake him off and say, devil, get thee behind me. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to be a has-been. I'm not going to be deceived. And shake that serpent off into those flames. Let's lift our hands right now and begin to worship him, everybody in the house. I wonder, would anybody be man enough to say, you know what, I'm wrong. I've allowed some things to get in my heart and my spirit that shouldn't be. I need to shake myself. I need to pray through tonight. Would somebody be woman enough to say, God, it's me. I need help. I've got the problem. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not my husband. It's me. Or will you continue to blame everybody else for all of your woes? for all of your problems. Everything that's wrong in your life, somebody, no. Shake yourself. Shake yourself. Somebody needs to shake themselves tonight. Say, Lord, it's me. It's me. It's me, God. Don't let the enemy destroy me.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Okay, well, I'm not going to say I hope you felt it, but we know that you felt the anointing during this message. What a tremendous, powerful message. And I'm not even going to try to comment on any of this because I feel like I would be taking away from it, church. But I got to just say here, as I've been in the conference room and praying and just weeping as I've been hearing this message, and I thought, you know, many of our people may have thought, well, this is a good message and I feel the anointing, but it doesn't apply to me. I don't feel that way. I love my pastor. I respect my pastor. And I have nothing of this in my life. But this is the thought that went through my mind. Church, thank God for preventative medicine. If in the future there's something that arises, a question, a doubt, a concern, well, why did my pastor do that? And why did he say that? And why is he doing this? Well, church, now you can reflect on a powerful and anointed message by Brother Jason Hood about making sure that we don't allow anything to divide us and cause a wedge between us and our pastor. Praise God. Church, why don't we just thank God? I'm still feeling this anointing here in this conference room. Why don't we just thank God for what we've heard this morning and that God will allow it to get deeply seated into our spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you, first of all, for the voice of your servant, Brother Jason Hood, the anointing, Lord God, that came through on this devotion call, Lord God, and the instruction and the preaching and the message that he gave us, Lord God. Help us to take it to heart. Take it to heart and put it deep within us, Lord God. We don't want to ever allow anything, Lord God, to create a division, a problem between us and our pastor, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Church, thank you for everything. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this devotion call. And we look forward to seeing you on tonight's youth devotion call at 7:15 p.m. God bless all of you. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.